Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of The Man with the Golden Gun.
Oh, well, that's crazy because I watched the second half of The Man with the Golden Gun.
Well, this is the other half.
Watch till you can't.
But make it brass. Make it not guitar-y. Make it different.
Make it a little bit different. It's a bit more like orchestrated.
When I saw the first part of this movie, I wrote no fedora plus.
Yes.
And then I wrote brass arrangement negative.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think it hits as well.
No, you need that like bass. Is it a bass that's like
it's
popping?
It's a guitar.
Up?
Yeah. It's a guitar or something with a little twang on it.
Fucking awesome.
It's cool.
Yeah.
But it's like a brass instrument.
Yeah.
Orchestration.
I think it was kind of
okay,
in the first movie,
bad.
Too, but it wasn't as obvious, I guess, to me. But yeah, I am missing that. Yeah. But you're right. No fedora.
Only a man with a golden gun.
Mm-hmm.
And who was that man with the golden gun?
Christopher Lee, baby.
Christopher motherfucking Lee.
He is so thin.
Yeah.
It's crazy how thin he is.
He's a little guy.
Because he's tall and imposing, but he's so thin.
Well, he's got to take his shirt off a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know who's really little in this movie?
Who's really little in this
Knick-knack.
Movie? Knick-knack. Knick-knack's fucking awesome.
I love Knick-knack. He's from Fantasy Island.
Yeah.
Famously. I love Knick-knack. I actually, like, unironically think he's awesome.
I do think so, too.
Like, I would love to play as him in GoldenEye.
He's way better in Oddjob.
Yeah,
he is. Way cooler.
He just, like, runs around.
Is Knick-knack supposed to be Mini-Me?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
And this is why in the last episode you mentioned, like, I think that most of these, like, things are referencing other movies. Sean. I think this is
Knick-knack's
100% Mini-Me.
Clearly, yeah. That's yeah. Fair. Makes sense.
But he rocks.
He's so good.
I love Knick-knack. He's a lot of fun. He's having a good time, which is also something you always want, you know?
Yeah, he's shocking. Also, did not know his name was Knick-knack.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what else to call him.
Well, no, that is his actual name. You're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right about that.
Well, I don't want, what do I say? Because everyone else refers to him as the M word.
Oh, they do?
Oh,
I thought most people called him Knick-knack, but maybe I was wrong.
They kept referring to him as the M word in my half of the movie. And then at one point, James Bond goes like, I haven't killed one of you before.
It's very strange.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh,
I don't know how I feel about that.
But Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee.
He is awesome. He's probably my favorite, like, performance as far as a villain goes.
Sure, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's a classic.
He's having so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting across, like, a villain who's, like, enjoying themselves, like, being evil, maniacal. I like his stupid little gun that he has to put together.
His golden gun?
Yeah, I love it.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. But what do you think about his third nipple?
Didn't know he had one.
The whole time?
I had no idea. He's a third where?
Oh,
on his back?
My
I had
God.
No idea he had a third nipple.
A huge plot point in my half.
What? Really?
Literally the beginning of the movie begins with me with my
the
head.
The man with the golden gun and a third nipple.
Begins with me with my head in my hands. Because
what?
I see, the first thing you see is this guy taking his shirt off and it zooms in this guy's chest and you see three nipples.
What the fuck?
Yes.
What a weird thing to focus on.
And I was like, all right, I guess that's the villain.
That's him. He's evil because he has three nipples.
They run out of deformities. They're always like, you got a scar across your face. You only got one arm.
Yeah.
Anyone who's deformed is probably a villain. They're like, what about three nips? What about three nipples? How about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll mix
and
it
he's
up.
Got them.
Yeah. So we see him on the beach.
Does it look good?
With the lady.
Is it hairy?
It's hairy, but not as hairy as his real nipples.
Mm,
they put
so
hair there,
tell.
But they, I was like.
He that. Shaves that one.
Well, I mean, you know, when you have an abnormal, like, thing usually might have different properties.
Abnormal.
Yeah. It is. Not many. It's not normal to have three nipples.
It's not normal to have three nipples.
There's nothing wrong with it, Mike. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's not normal. It's not normal.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they usually have, like, you know, something different about them, and this has less nipples.
Yeah, more nipples.
more nipples, less nipple hair.
Ah, I see. Okay.
But overall, quite a lot of nipple hair.
Have you ever met a guy with three nipples?
No, I've never met a guy with three nipples.
I had a friend in middle school who had three nipples.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I never got to see it. He never showed it to us until
How do you know? You think he was fucking lying for attention?
He did have to go to the doctor and get it removed. So
he got it removed?
He got it removed. Yeah, because he didn't like it and he felt very self-conscious about it.
Probably why
and
I didn't
kept
show
going,
you.
Like, show it to us.
Why do you bring it up, though? Why the fuck would you bring it up unless you have to show it?
I agree with you.
Why? I think
and
you
then
want
we
attention.
All try to hold him and try to take his shirt off. He fought us off. He was too strong.
Then he became a man with a golden gun.
He became the man with the golden gun. Yeah. Yeah. That's... And you know what is even crazier? He had a twin. So his twin didn't have three nipples, but he did.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that strange?
That is so strange. It's so abnormal.
Very strange.
Very strange.
But
strange.
Anyway. Yeah.
Wait. That motherfucker
wanted. You want to know more about the three nipple
guy?
You
wanted to have attention. There's no way you didn't. Why would you bring it up?
I don't know. I don't know.
If I had three nipples and didn't want anyone to know about it, I
you
simply would
anything,
not say anything.
Especially in middle school.
Especially in middle school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unless that rumor got started where he like did have a shirt off at one point and someone like pointed it out.
That might
have
been it, right?
And like, then I feel bad.
Yeah, you know, most people, it's just like most people wear shirts when they're like in swim class because they're conscious about their body weight or whatever. But this guy,
their nipple.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Christopher Lee has in this movie. And he also has
sickening.
He also said it was sickening. It was also Knick Knack.
I love Knick Knack.
Knick Knack. He's like his butler or something. Mm-hmm. And he's hanging out with a lady out on the beach.
Yeah.
And we see
Knick
Knack. I
think her name is like Alistair or something, right?
Alistair.
Anderson?
She never has a name I have.
Oh, okay. Anders. Maybe.
Anders. Yeah. Miss Anders, I think, is maybe her last name. Yeah. I don't know her first name.
I don't know her first name. But Anders, I think she goes by.
But she's there hanging out. And Knick Knack's there getting a dude with a fedora giving him a bunch of money. And it's like,
ooh.
You're going to do the job, right? And he's like, yeah, all right. He's like, come here. I'm going to go talk to him. And then you hear off the background, Tabasco, please. And Scaramunga.
Scaramunga, that's...
Scaramunga is Christopher Lee's name.
Yes.
Scaramanga? Like, Scaramanga. We'll never get it right.
Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee.
Dracula.
He says right away, Mr. Scaramunga.
Mm-hmm.
And Knick Knack says, at this point, I thought his name was Tabasco. Because he's like, Tabasco.
His name is Knick Knack, so it could have been Tabasco.
Well, he said Tabasco, please. At this point, I don't know this guy's name. I only knew Knack because later on in the
right.
movie.
I love that.
But then I realized he has...
Tabasco is not more of a ridiculous name than Knick Knack
is. No, it
isn't. You know?
And
so,
he has, and he has. But then I realized he has a plate with Tabasco on it.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm like, okay, that's not his name.
Got it.
So I had to look it up.
Yeah, he's like a cook. He makes food.
Yeah, well, he's a cook, butler. He does it all.
Yeah.
Imagine
going into the kitchen and it's like all Knick Knack sized.
That'd be like, pretty cool.
Like, yeah, it's like an easy bake oven.
Easy bake oven. Knick Knack's got to take forever to make your food, but he's gonna come.
He's great. He makes good food.
Yeah, it's all kind of tastes a little microwaved, or like it was heated with a fucking light bulb.
You just
something.
Like go in there. You have to like sit down to watch him like make food, prepare it, because everything has to be made at his size. Like, it would suck if everything was made to
you.
You
don't think
for
he
him.
Has like a fucking stepladder?
That
step
would
stool?
Suck. Imagine having a stepladder for everything you had to
yes,
go to.
Yes, it would suck. That's why.
You think it'd be funnier if he had a stepladder?
No, I didn't think it'd be funnier.
I think it'd be cute if everything was his size.
I think it would be too, but this guy's a rich guy and he probably is like, fuck you, have a stepladder.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
He's not going to be
nice to poor Knick Knack.
Knick Knack is fucking paying a guy to kill him.
He's paying a guy to kill Scaramunga?
Yeah, he's giving him money.
Wait, he doesn't like Scaramunga.
He's got a guy gonna fucking
kill
him.
Oh, I had no idea.
So then the fedora guy, I'm gonna call him fedora guy because he doesn't really have a name.
Yeah.
He goes and hangs out in this little side area of Scaramunga's like lair, and Knick Knack's like, I'll get you half, I'll get you the other half when the job is done. Mm. So then he walks off, and he's like, ready. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking kill this guy. And then Knick Knack's like, Scaramunga, you got like a bath going. You got like a bath, and it's ready to go.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. So he goes and walks in. This is where Fedora guy strikes. Fedora guy's like, aha! And he's gonna fucking shoot him. And before he shoots him, the room turns red.
Yes.
And now Knick Knack's like, ha, ha, ha. You're getting attacked here. How are you, Scaramunga? Ha ha. And Scaramunga's like throwing a weight to like make this Fedora guy. This Fedora guy is like in his like 60s. He's an old man. He's shooting like the weight that was thrown like a 5-pound weight. He shoots at it.
Yeah.
Knickknacks like teasing.
Scaramunga?
Scaramunga is like, ha ha ha. You're trying to get your famous gun. You thought that'd be easy because he has it all locked up. He's like, no, yeah, I locked it
the
up.
The golden gun.
It's not the golden gun. It's like a random gun. It's just a random one. But he can work with anything.
Yeah.
So Knickknack turns on like a funhouse mirror, and then like the fedora man goes into this weird funhouse, and an animatronic appears and shoots a gun at him.
Yes.
And the fedora man is stupid and shoots at the guy, the fake animatronic shooting at him. And then the fedora man keeps walking further and finds like a fucking Al Capone.
Mm-hmm.
And
wait, what's his name?
Al Capone.
Oh, okay. I think they called him Al Gabone.
Al Gabone. That's what I want to do to him, baby. Hop on my Al Gabone. I want to put a hit on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's an animatronic Al Capone.
Animatronic Al Capone. He shoots at him and he shoots off his hand.
Yeah.
And he says, and the fedora man's like, wherever you are, don't hold it against me. I'm like, oh, is a fucking Al Capone going to come back and haunt you and shoot you later? And then Knickknack's still teasing him. Like, where's your little gun, Mr. Salamanga? Where is it? Where is it? You can't find it. And he sees it in like a mirror and he tries to grab it. And he's like, no, it's a mirror. You can't get it. Mm. Ooh, it's down the stairs. And you see the fedora man's like camping the stairs like a shitty CSGO player.
Yeah.
And he's going to shoot him. And but Saramunga like makes the stairs into like a flat ramp and he slides down it and tries getting shot at, but he grabs the real golden gun and shoots Fedora Man right in the head.
Ooh.
And then the lights come on and there's a wax figure of Roger Moore behind the Fedora Man.
Yes.
And Knickknack is like, ah, good job. Good job. That was a pretty, you thought that guy was pretty good? And he's like, Scaramunga's like, nah, he was all right. He was pretty good, but you're going to have to try harder if you ever want my money. So it makes it sound like if Knickknack ever does successfully hire someone to kill him, he gets all of his money.
But also the Scaramunga is not like heartbroken about any of this. Like he still keeps him around as like a butler.
That's the thing is, I don't think he was like, I think he's asking him to do it.
I think he is hiring him. I think Scaramunga is a bit of a freak.
He's a bit of a freaky guy.
Yeah.
It's all because of that third nipple.
It's that third nipple.
It makes
thing.
Him crazy.
It's that's the thing is the third nipple changes his brain
it
chemistry.
Changes his brain chemistry completely. Took part of his brain, put it in that nipple.
People with physical abnormalities, there's something
there's
strange
something
about
fucked
them.
Up about it, bro. Makes him a villain. He's a fucked up
We're
man.
Being ironic. We're being ironic. That's not true. Ethan doesn't care. He just shrugged. Like, he's like, who gives a shit?
Nah.
Maybe there's people who listen to this podcast with three nipples, you know? You don't know.
No.
Hey, guys, if you have
maybe you should fucking show them to me.
If you have three nipples, email us. Email theotherhalfpodcast.com.
Do it.
But you have to have all three in the shot. Or
all
else
three
in
the shot. We're
not
going to
believe
you. You can't be like, you can't give me three shots of you know, different angles.
Because it might be just two nipples. And then one of them sort of grabs.
Or you like turned it or something. And I'm like, I'm not going to recognize it. Yeah, you like rotated the third nipple.
Yeah.
You just get the second nipple.
Yeah, we want a full frontal.
I want a full frontal. So I'm saying. Send that in.
Of your nipple.
Yeah, send it in. You get nothing in return.
Yeah, nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Except for our, I don't know, appreciation.
Yes, I will appreciate the mic.
I won't. I don't want to see that.
Then why'd you ask? You're the one who asked.
Anyway, I'm assuming this is where the intro pops in.
This is where the intro, well, kind of. No, it does pop in.
That's
and he goes,
fair.
He has a powerful weapon.
Yeah.
The man with the golden gun.
Woo!
This is Lulu. The song's really fun, honestly. It's fun.
Yeah.
And there's like, of course, there's naked women. Their choice this time to put over the naked women because it's always naked women.
Yes.
It's just like water effects.
Mm-hmm.
It's like ripples and stuff.
Weird.
Naked women stroking guns, silhouettes of naked women, completely silhouetted. And I was like, you know, this kind of reminds me of those like Apple commercials. Remember those? Which is like completely
like
naked people.
It is like an Apple commercial.
Yeah.
That's a really good comparison.
But you see her nipples as opposed to them wearing normal clothes.
Yeah.
They're completely naked. I'm like, man.
But they're silhouetted completely.
They're so weirdly horny.
They are.
They're
really
horny
are.
In just a weird way, you know? Anyway.
Not in a good way.
Not in a good way.
Not
a weird
good
way.
Horny. A weird horny.
I mean, it's taken nine movies to get to this conclusion that kind of weird horny. Weird horny going on.
Yeah, they're weird horny movies.
So then Bond walks into M's office, like, good morning. And M is like, what do you know about Scaramanga? He's like, well, yes, he's the man with the golden gun. He could be Cuban, born in a circus.
Oh my
KGB
God.
Hired him.
What do you read his Wikipedia?
That's what it sounds
in?
Like. He's in Western Europe.
Imagining, like, he listened to this song before he came into M's office. Hey, he's a man with a golden gun.
Does all this stuff. Yeah. KGB. He went in Europe for a bit. Eventually went independent.
He's Cuban. Is that the thing?
They said could be Cuban. don't know.
He gets a million. It's a million dollar guy with a tan. Who knows?
He charges $1 million per hit.
Yeah.
Because he's independent now, but he has one distinguishing feature.
Three nipples.
Does have one distinguishing feature, however, a superfluous papilla.
A what?
A mammary gland. A third nipple, sir.
And I'm like, what? This is why I'm so surprised this is not ever mentioned in your half of the movie at all.
Never. Never comes all up right. that he has three nipples.
Okay.
I love those. So, do you think anyone in like royalty had three nipples? That feels like a thing, right? Because there was so much inbreeding, you know? One of them had like a third nipple.
Oh,
somewhere.
Absolutely. That's why the British people know so well about it.
Yeah. All that's that the only thing that happens over there. That's yeah. Like the queen probably had three nipples. In
one for each corgi. So...
There's a bunch of corgi suckling on her nipple.
She's just like, are my babies.
She's like lying on her side. All the corgis are running up, trying to get fed. Where was that part of Spencer? Right?
Yeah. Like, where was that part of Spencer?
Like she walks in on this happening.
I'm gonna assassinate you later, but first I have to feed my babies. Let me lay over here on my milking couch.
It's just a couch that's on the ground that she could lay sideways
exactly,
on.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's all like the corgis can run
instead of fainting,
up.
She just milks. She's milked on
milking,
it.
Milking, yeah. Milking and fainting couches, corgis. Yeah.
Anyway. So he gives, M gives Bond a bullet that's golden with his name, 007, on it. Not his name, but 007's on it.
Yes.
It's his call sign.
Yeah.
The number. And he's like, this was noted as a special delivery to you. And he's like, why the fuck do you send it to me? And he's like, I think it's intimidation.
Yeah.
You are now officially relieved from your present assignment. The energy crisis is still with us, Bond says. And he's like, yeah, but this guy's freaking us out. So I guess Bond's current mission was to get an energy scientist named Gibson.
Yes. The Gibson.
We got to hack the Gibson. So he's like... Bond's bummed. He's like, I'm going to fucking work now. I just got put on leave.
I don't want to hang out with a third nipple guy.
Solve
the energy crisis.
He wasn't even told to like do anything about the third nipple guy. He's like, you're just off assignment because this thing's
going on. Because this is happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he's like, oh, well, if I found a third nipple guy first,
then I'd be back on assignment.
That would change the situation, right? And he's like, M's like, dramatically, wouldn't you say? Mm. Anyway, so...
Well, what else is the deal? Like, what? I'm just going to be off assignment until the guy disappears? Like,
yes. I don't know. They just knew Bond was just obviously going to be like, I can't not work. I'm a workaholic.
M. Yeah.
So then, apparently he struck in Beirut in like 69 was the last time he struck. He talks to Moneypenny. Moneypenny gives him all this information. And he says, Moneypenny, you're better than a computer. And she says, in all sorts of ways, but you never take advantage of them.
Ooh.
And then they're like, why didn't
Would you like to see my hardware?
He says,
I got a thumb drive for you.
Why couldn't he? Those weren't around then.
Those weren't around then.
He couldn't find. He's like, where? They never found the bullets for. They kill. He the last person he killed was like a 002 or something like that.
Probably that guy.
Yeah, in 1969 in Beirut, and he's like, never found the bullets, and she's like, yeah, they never found the bullets. That's why I never like figured it out. He says, oh, they never found the bullets. Then cut to a belly dancer who is dancing with what looks like a bullet. That exploded bullet on her belly as like a little trinket thing.
Oh.
It's very weird. And I was like, whoa, that's a cool transition. And
so
then,
Scaramunga just like gave it to her? Or she just has a bullet?
Susie. Right. So then Bond's watching her up close at, I believe it's Beirut. And people seem upset. This kingpin looking guy is like really pissed off.
Yeah.
And she goes, she walks off stage. She goes to her dressing room. And he comes in and tries to talk to her and is like, hey, you know, you're a great dancer, very talented. Mixing in the scene, weird. It feels like they didn't ADR James Bond's lines in. So it's just room. Like they
tons of room noise.
Room,
yeah.
And it sounds terrible compared to her, which sounds really good.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Also, by the way, I love that when we're doing James Bond voices, we're still sounding like Sean Connery.
Like, well, I mean, Roger Moore's voice is just, I'm British.
Yeah,
British.
It's not as interesting.
It's not as interesting.
You can't really like parody
Sean
it.
Sean Connery has an iconic voice.
Yeah.
It's hard to really
Roger Moore is just like,
I'm British. I'm 007. I'm 007, madam. What do I do? Yeah, speech of Moneypenny. Nah.
I ran over a bunch of crocodiles.
quickly in the last movie. We're not quick enough for my stuntman. Anyway, she explains that, like, oh yeah, I was there when 002 was killed, and before the agents arrived, I took the bullet out of the wall.
Wow!
And
why?
Now it's my lucky trinket.
Why?
I don't know. She had her eyes closed when he died, so it wasn't that traumatic for her, I guess. And he's like, I'm sure Bill would have loved that. But and then she says, let's forget the past. Let's bang. And they start trying to kiss. And he keeps trying to grab her the bullet out of her belly button. And she keeps putting his hand like on her butt. And then she tries kiss. And then he's like, I dropped something. And he picks it up. He starts kissing around her belly. And right when he gets it on
his teeth.
His teeth, the goons come in and they fucking hit him in the back of the head. And he fucking swallows it.
Oh!
And he's boop. And he just starts fighting some goons. He fights them all off. And he runs away.
So now he's gonna shit it out.
Yep. And then we cut to the next scene with Q looking at it and examining it and with another guy. And yeah, I'm like,
flies all over it.
They don't explain where it came from, but we all know.
We all know where that came from.
It's also funny because they mentioned that, like, these types of bullets, they hit on impact and really do a lot of damage to flesh because they spread out everywhere.
Right.
And I'm like, and James Bond's like, yes. I'm like, you fucking know. You're the past that.
Did a lot of damage to my asthma.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The scientists are like, this came from a 4.2 millimeter gun. And Bond's like, that doesn't exist. And Q's like, you idiot. That doesn't matter. Just because it's from a gun that doesn't exist. We make weird shit here all the time. And then, like, they have a bazooka in the back, like, blowing up like a wall, like a fake wall.
He's
like, we make weird stuff here.
Yeah.
And they're like, who could have made this bullet? And they're like, Lazar. Lazar. And he's like, what's Lazar? And he's like, Lazar is a guy who made the bullet. He's a Portuguese guy. He lives in Macau. You should go look at him. So Bond goes and finds him. He travels to China and just asks some Chinese folks in English, like, is Lazar here?
And they're like, just like, what are you talking about?
I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? He shows him a picture, like the word, and they're like, and then the guy appears and he's like, oh, you're Bond? Okay, come on here. It's Lazar. And he brings him into his underground little area where he has a bunch of gun stuff being made. He's very inclusive. He's making a big gun for someone for a person who only has three fingers.
Oh.
He's like, here's a gun you can still kill people with.
I also made a gun for a person with three nipples.
Yeah, exactly. and so Bond tries using it and he misses. He's like, oh, the sight's off. And he's like, well, it's balanced for people with three fingers, not for five fingers. So it's going to be off a little bit for you. And he's like, so...
ADA accessible guns.
Exactly. Yeah. So Lazar, pretty cool guy. And he's like, there's a guy you make golden bullets for? And he's like, oh, my relationship with the client is strictly forbidden. And then Bond points the gun that he was just using, points it at him. And he's like, yeah, well, you need to tell me more than that. And he eventually threatens him, shoots off in the corner, and comes back with some bullets. He's like, I just made these fresh bullets. I've never seen them, though, I swear. But my only instructions are to go deliver them in this, like, casino
place.
Situation.
You're right.
And this casino, I have no idea what they're playing. It's fucking cool, though, because they're playing on this table, and then there's, like, buckets that come down. And one of the buckets comes down, and, like, I guess it gives them money, and there's, like, people maybe playing from the top, and they're maybe, like, communicating. But one of these buckets, they put the box of cigarettes, which is full of the golden bullets, in it. And a lady goes and picks it up. It's the lady we saw from earlier.
Right. Anders.
Miss Anders or whatever. Bond goes and follows her. She takes a boat all the way to Hong Kong. They go to Hong Kong Harbor, and this is crazy. They pass by the Queen Elizabeth, which has been stuck there and just sunk mysteriously. This is a real ship.
Okay.
That happened, like, in real life.
Yeah.
Really sunk just out in the middle of the ocean, and it's just, like, kind of, like, capsized over and, like, rusted out. And it was there from, like, I think they scrapped in, like, 75, so this was made in 72.
Wow.
And so pretty sure it's just a real boat. They just had it there.
Whoa.
And I'm like, this is an insane visual that I never
They're probably
knew
like,
existed.
We need to include it in this movie about a British spy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It looks insane.
That's pretty cool.
So then he meets with an agent who's been stationed in Hong Kong. Her name is Goodnight.
Goodnight, yeah.
Goodnight. He's like, oh, there you are.
She's like a weird accent.
Yeah, she's like, sorry, I'm late. He's like, yeah, so the person I'm trying to contact, she drove a green Rolls Royce. You should be able to find that. And she doesn't find it, but she finds the place where it was stationed, which is like a hotel that only uses green Rolls Royces.
Got it.
And she's like, 2 years of posting here, and this is what you get. I get all this knowledge. I'm so smart.
Wow, she's so smart.
She's so smart. And he's like, thank you. I'll buy you dinner tonight. Good night. And I'm just like, why is she named this? This is so stupid. It's like, I have some business to attend to. I'm going to go meet this person and talk to her, and I'll be back later. So he goes up there. The hotel worker, he has a bunch of champagne with him, and the hotel worker's like, oh, let me help you with that champagne. You want me to open it or anything? He's like, no, you can open the door, though, to where I'm going, 602. And he's like, okay. He just puts the key in and opens it. I'm like, this guy didn't even think, like, you can't get in there? I think it's crazy that in movies they always do this, like, what room is this person staying in?
Yeah.
And they're like, here you go. And I'm like, I feel like no one does that, right?
Yeah,
like,
no. That's crazy. Seems like a massive breach of privacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, goes to 602, goes in there, puts the champagne down, pulls out a gun, sees that she's showering.
He's
like, ooh, leans back, puts the gun away. And then he says, good afternoon. And then she's just, she goes out the shower, pulls a gun on him. And he's like, you always take a shower with a pistol? He says, put your hands up. Get out of here. She also has eye makeup on, and I'm like, why'd you wear that in the shower? That doesn't make any sense.
You gotta love that. Is this Goodnight?
No, this is another lady.
Anders.
This is the lady. This is Anders. Yeah.
Got it.
He eventually gets one over on her because she was trying to call the hotel service, but he eventually takes a gun away from her, pins her down, and is like, where are those bullets come from? He's like, I don't work. Where's the bullets come from that you see here? It's like, I don't work for him. I'm his. She's like, what? His lover? Is that what you are? Are you his lover? And she's like, I don't know where he is, but I know he has a date tonight. And Bond's like, how will I recognize him? He's like, well, he's tall and dark. She's like, my aunt's tall and dark too. And then she says, well, he has a third nipple. And he's like, that's the most useless piece of information I've ever heard. unless we're going to a strip club where he's performing.
Honestly, kind of, right? Like, yeah, to say, like, this is like a very like discernible thing. Like, unless someone's not wearing a shirt around you.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going to know. So then she's like, okay, he wears like a white linen suit. He usually wears gold jewelry.
He looks kind of like Christopher Lee.
Yeah. And he says, okay, well, what you're going to do is you're going to give these bullets to Mr. Scaramanga, just like you normally would, because if you say anything about this conversation, he's not going to trust you, and I don't trust you right now. So we'll see how this goes.
All right.
She's like, okay, I'll do it. So he says, all right, bottoms up. And then they cheer to each other, and it cuts to someone's butt, and she's just like dancing at this like topless thing, serving drinks at the place where they're gonna meet.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And the place is literally called Bottoms Up, though, and I'm like, okay, that's a little too on the nose. At first it was like a cute transition, but the place is called Bottoms Up.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's a little goofy.
Yeah. So we see a guy there, and another guy meets with him, and it's like a what happens basically is there's these two people are meeting.
Okay.
And Bond is waiting at Bottoms Up looking and is like, okay, I'm going to see where Scaramanga is.
Right.
And the guy comes out the door and Bond starts going towards it. Scaramanga is hiding in a window with the gun and shoots at Bond. And he misses. He doesn't hit Bond.
He misses him.
And I'm like, what kind of assassin is this? But no, instead what he hits is this other man. And that other man is Gibson.
Oh shit!
The guy from that he was going to
originally
do the
previous mission,
exactly.
Yeah, with the renewable energy guy.
So he kills him, and we're like, "Oh shit!" But at this point, the cops are there, and they think Bond pulled out the gun and shot him.
Oh,
because Bond pulled out a gun in defense. Because he's like, "Oh fuck, I'm getting shot at."
Right.
And they take him into custody.
Oh.
And he's like, "Sir, like my gun hasn't been fired." He's like, he's like, "You'll see that at the station. We're going to the station." He's like,
"Right.
I didn't see your identity card." At all. And he's like, you'll see it soon enough. And then go to a boat. And he's like, this is a boat, not a police station. He's like, it's over
budget
here.
Cuts.
It's in Kowloon's over there.
Yeah.
He's like, okay. And then we cut to Scaramanga. And he's in like, he goes into a sailboat with Miss Anders there as well. And the sailboat is dope as hell looking. It's like very old.
It's very big.
Very big.
Yeah, I think I see it later in the movie.
And he gets real horny with her and the gun. He's like rubbing the gun on her.
She's a little freak with this gun.
Yeah, she seems to have like been loyal to him is what it sounds like. And
right.
It basically told him, like, Bond's going to be here. You should take care of this stuff.
Right.
So then he's like, they keep driving on the boat with Bond. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Kowloon's is over there. He's like, the cop's like, no, we're going to new territories. And the new territory is the sunken Queen Elizabeth.
Oh,
they go there, and Bond thinks he tries to escape. He jumps out, And then he's like, welcome aboard, Commander Bond. And a hatch opens up. He's like, what the fuck? And they go in there, and there's a bunch of British people running around there. Yeah. He's like, this is the only place between the Americans and the Chinese you can't get bugged.
Yeah. Okay. It looks like a upside down, like crooked house.
The whole
inside,
ship
right?
is crooked. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Because like over. We see it later in my half of the movie, and I was just like, what in the fuck is this like?
It's a cool set.
It is a cool set, but I was like, what is this weird, like Alice in Wonderland ass looking yeah. fucking place? It's crazy.
It's a crazy idea to be like, we're gonna build our base out of this sunken
It's cool.
Ship.
It's very cool. Here.
So
and like people are walking in and out of like sideways doorways yeah. and shit too.
And they like built in like kind of like a military operation. Yeah. They have like wooden planks everywhere to kind of make the whole thing straight.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I really like this area.
Yeah.
Em is here and Em is like, okay, so like here's what's going on. Hip, which is the cop he was with, he's like,
right.
You're working with us. He's like,
Hip is cool.
Hip apologizes, like, hey, look, I couldn't tell you anything because I didn't know how much you knew, how much you didn't know. So
right. He's like the Hippocratic Oath.
I had, yeah. We're done with the podcast.
Hip is cool. I like Hip.
Hip is
he's
cool.
He's in my half of the movie,
yeah,
too.
He says, you know, we're done with this. You know, I wanted to get away from the police, basically.
Right.
We're working with Scaramanga, or we're trying to get against Scaramanga because we found out that that guy I was killed was Gibson. Gibson here worked for some guy named High Fat
yes.
Enterprises.
Which feels like a joke.
It feels like a joke. But
it feels
also,
like a racist joke.
But also, I don't know. It feels like a racist joke. It feels like a racist joke. But who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Especially when they said High Fat Enterprises.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And like that was the thing back in the day, right? With like MSG. It's like high in fat.
That's sodium, but yeah. It's definitely like unhealthy food from over there.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
I don't know about this.
Anyway. Kind of weird. Anyway, but then apparently this guy made like a 95% efficient solar panel and
yes.
it solved the energy crisis. And
yes.
I'm like, something's never changed, do they?
Yeah.
Something's yeah. never changed. So he's like, all right, showed me a prototype of it in the bar. Hip said, because he was meeting him. Hip was the guy who actually was the contact for Mr. Gibson.
Right.
He showed me a prototype of it, but after he was shot, the prototype was gone. Bond suggests that, like, well, maybe High Fat was the one who hired Scaramanga to kill Gibson because, for whatever reason, he's the only one who has enough money to do this because it's $1 million a hit to kill someone.
Right.
And Bond writes down a thing as, like, I have a request for this. And he puts it. We don't see as the audience what it is. He puts it in front of M and a couple other people. And they go, oh, and he says, well, I know it's a bit kinky, but I request that. And they're like, go with Goodnight. Goodnight goes with you. And I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, what's going on?
I don't know. I never knew. They never.
You don't know?
They never tell you. I was hoping it would come up in your house.
No, I have no idea what this is.
Anyway, High Fat's in Bangkok, actually. So they have to go there.
Yes.
And he's in like a mountainside place with
like a palace.
Yeah, and a bunch of guards are there. And Hip yeah. says, it's like, well, I know someone over there says it's very hard to get into.
Yes.
We cut to Hip peeping over the fortress on Bond's shoulders. And he's like, yeah, there's no way you can get in there. There's too many guards. And then take a look for yourself. And Bond gets on his shoulders and looks. And he's like, yeah, I'll just go in. I'm sure they'll see me.
Right.
And he gets in there. And he's walking around this beautiful palace with all these guards. And
the middle of the jungle
on the mountainside.
Yeah.
And he sees a naked woman swimming in the water and he goes, hey, how's the water?
Why don't you come in and find out?
Sounds very tempting, Miss
Chew me.
Really?
Even he's just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. And he's like, well, the problem is I don't have any swimming trunks. And she says, neither have I.
Mm.
He's like, all right. So he starts taking his clothes off and then a guy sees him. I think it's High Fat, comes out. And it's like, hey, you, get out of here. Leave. And then we see Bond without a shirt on. He has a third nipple.
Wait, Bond has a third nipple?
Bond has a third
Wait,
nipple.
Wait, really?
So that High Fat says, oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Scaramanga. We weren't supposed to ever meet in person.
This is what he wrote down.
Oh, you're
on
right.
On the piece of paper.
Oh, you're right. It was a little kinky.
Yeah, he's like, I know
nipple.
It's a little kinky.
Hip would know more about this. I feel like Hip had no idea about this, but I guess, yeah, you might be right.
I think
yeah.
that's probably what you're happened. Probably right. He's like, this is the one thing that would like make it so that people would know.
I guess you're right. He wouldn't do it himself. This isn't a DIY There's, makeup job.
Imagine. And we've seen him shirtless.
Yeah, yeah.
We
yeah.
know he doesn't have a third nipple.
He doesn't have a third nipple.
Yeah. That's so funny.
So they're like, oh, please forgive me. We're never supposed to meet in person. And he's like, I didn't know those rumors about your nipple were real. There are cults that think it gives you invulnerability and great sexual powers.
Okay.
I'm like, okay.
Okay.
All right, buddy, here. But Bond's like, oh, so this guy named Bond is out to get you, I think. He's good even by my standards.
This is the funniest thing when Bond has to talk about himself.
I love it.
It's the funniest shit in the world.
He says, yeah, he was near the Bottoms Up Club when I, you know, did the hit. He's like, well, do you expect me to spend another $1 million to kill Bond? He's like, oh, it might be a good idea.
Mm.
He's like, well, since you made it out here, let's have dinner at 9 p.m. Meet in person.
Right.
We'll see you later. Go get out of here. So he leaves. Pip comes out and is waiting for him at the door. And he's like, oh, did you didn't see him, did you?
He even invited me to dinner. He must have found me quite titillating.
And I was like, all right, that's pretty good.
There you go.
But then we cut to Scaramanga seeing this whole thing happen in binoculars. And High Fat walks up to him and says, yeah, I want to die here, but I don't want to die early. So you got to take out Bond.
Oh,
so they do. Bond's little trick didn't even work.
No, he was playing into his little trap
the whole time.
Yeah.
So then we got Hip giving a ride with his
man,
niece.
Honestly, good job on like High, by the way. Because like if I saw a guy masquerading around as a guy that I know with a fake third nipple, I would not be able to stop laughing.
I know, right? I'd be like, yeah. What are you doing? He's like, oh, no, excuse me.
No, I look just like Christopher Lee.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Same person. Hip is taking his nieces for a lift while he's going to drop off Bond at High Fat's place at night. Mm. Bond's all dressed up in a nice suit and everything. All the girls are talking about him in the back. The nieces are. And he's like, yeah, you know, High Fat's on the way. I'll come back afterwards. He drops him off. High Fat's door looks like a big strawberry. It's beautiful. I love it. His little gate to his palace.
Good enough to eat.
It looks tasty. Yeah. Big red, little dots on it. He goes in and High Fat's place is like covered in porcelain statues, and it kind of reminds me of the wax figures that are in Scaramanga's like base.
Oh,
I thought that was kind of interesting.
I like that
connection.
I like that.
And then we walk by all these statues and it turns and Knickknack is one of the statues.
Oh no. And he's one of the Knickknacks.
Well, then it's done. I'm like, so far movie's not been that goofy except for the nipple thing. The nipple thing has been a weird thing to be obsessed about.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So far it's been a fairly serious, pretty easy to follow. I've been enjoying my time and curious about it. And then Bond finds himself in front of two sumo wrestlers. And he tries to walk by them and they're like, you gotta fight us. And so they say,
fights two sumos?
He fights two sumo wrestlers. One of them, he gets them in kind of like, they get him in like a hug, where he's laying across the back of the sumo wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And he reaches down and grabs the sumo wrestler's ass cheeks. And the sumo wrestler does not care about this, but he starts twisting like his underwear. I don't know what the sumo wrestler's like thing is called.
The strap.
The strap area. I don't know what it's called, but he starts twisting it. And
he goes, whoa!
And he drops Bond.
Yeah.
And then Bond's like ready to fight him. And then Nick Nack knocks him out.
Knocks Bond out,
yeah. And Bond's there, sitting on like a bench, like laid out, and Knickknack gets like a huge trident and is like gonna fucking kill Bond. Mm-hmm. And then High Fat says, no, don't kill him here. This is my home.
Yeah.
Take Mr. Bond to school. Mr. Bond wakes up with a bunch of women like rubbing and massaging him, waking him up. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm in heaven. But now it's school and it looks like some sort of dojo, and these two guys with swords, like Bond's waking up, looking at these guys. These two guys are sort of start fighting each other.
Right.
One of them gets cut and dies. And then they call this other guy called Trash Man, which is what the subtitle said.
Trash Man.
I don't know if that's really what he's called, but that's what the subtitle said.
I'm the Trash Man.
Yeah. And they're like, all right, time to fight a Bond. And he noticed before those two swords been fought that they bowed to each other. So
right.
Bond takes advantage of this. And gets ready to fight Trash Man. Trash Man bows to Bond, and Bond just kicks him in the face and knocks him out. He's like, oh, shit. So then they get Chula to fight. And Chula, everyone's very hyped for Chula. I don't know if Chula feels like he's going to end in your half.
I don't know. What does he look like? Describe him.
Just an Asian dude with hair that's kind of like going to his eyebrows.
No,
kind of longer.
So. Not at least my half of the movie.
Bummer. Okay. So everyone's hyped for him. Eventually fights Chula, gets away from him. Chula's kicking his ass. He breaks out, finds Hip outside of the school. And he's like, how did you find me, Hip? And he's like, oh, High Fat runs this place.
Mm.
And Hip's nieces are there. And Bond's like, step aside, girls. And the girls get in front of him. And they start beating the shit out of all the dudes in the school.
Whoa.
And he's like, whoa. And Hip's like, forgot to tell you, their dad runs a karate school, and they're just beating the shit out of everyone. Almost nice. Does. Bond doesn't even beat anyone up at this point. It's just Hip and his nieces.
Hip is the coolest.
Hip's
dude.
Cool. I love him.
I love Hip.
Hip gets in a car and abandons Bond for some reason with the nieces. And Bond.
Well, he's got to protect his nieces.
Got to protect his nieces. So yeah. Bond takes a boat and gets like the propeller for the boat and threatens him with it as these guys are on the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "That's what you might call a Mexican screw off, gentlemen."
What?
And I was like, "What's a screw off?" I had to look it up. It's just another word for Mexican standoff.
I've never heard of Mexican screw off.
I haven't either. Maybe some British shit.
Probably some British shit.
Yeah.
They don't stand over there. They screw.
Yeah, I guess not. Well, especially with Bond. So then Bond's driving the boat down the way in Bangkok here. And this kid, I love this scene. This kid is on one of the tourist boats. He's got an elephant. He's trying to sell. He's like, 80 baht, real elephant. No one will buy it. No one seems really interested. All these tourists are like, whatever. So he sees Bond kind of like going by on his boat. And he just sees him and he's like, fuck it. And he just jumps out the boat and is like, gets on Bond's boat and is like, hey man, 100 baht for this elephant. And he starts like bargaining down. He's like, all right, I'll give you like 60 baht for this elephant, 40 baht. And Bond looks at him and he's like, I'll give you 200,000 or 20,000 baht if you can make this boat go any faster. And the kid just turns a little knob on the
boat.
Wow. And it goes faster. He's like, 200K. And Bond's like, sorry, kid. I'm afraid I'll owe you. And he just fucking pushes him off the boat.
What the fuck?
And the kid just says, bloody tourist. And then he drives off.
What an asshole.
It's so funny, though. This kid had like so much charisma. I love this kid.
Yeah, poor shame. The kid is going to die in poverty.
So I was having a great time. And I was like, man, this.
I know it's coming.
Oh, you know it's coming.
I know it's coming.
I was a good old time. And then someone gets sprayed by the water of James Bond as he drives off.
Yeah, and the way you did such a good description of this guy in the last movie, and I was just like, oh man, that guy sounds really annoying.
I did not know this man would be in two movies.
And I gotta,
Mr. Pepper, I believe it's Pepper from the last movie.
Yeah, J.W. Pepper.
J.W. is here again.
Yes, he's a tourist in Bangkok with his wife.
And he got sprayed by James Bond's water.
Yes.
And he is so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
He wouldn't.
Why does he come back? Like,
because this movie was too good. This movie was too good. And they're like, you know, we need to have a racist guy here.
And he is.
He is.
He's super racist.
He comes out and he gets off the boat with his wife. And his wife's like, sees a bunch of little like elephant statues or carvings or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, I gotta have me one of those cute elephants. He's like, elephants? We're Democrats, Maybell. And then immediately says a racist thing to some people outside. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do with this.
It's terrible.
I don't know how to process this. This is a lot.
I mean, this is probably how a lot of other like nationalities feel when they watch a James Bond movie, like how they are representing Americans here.
Yeah, probably. Just rude and obnoxious.
They're rude, obnoxious. They don't understand the politics.
British people are also probably this way too.
Yeah.
But absolutely, Americans definitely have this problem.
It was awful.
I was like, yeah, it was terrible.
It was really bad. And he shows up a lot in my half the movie.
I had a feeling
he's
he
the
would.
Sidekick.
Oh no!
Yeah, and I'm like, who is this fucking guy? Because I didn't see him in the last movie.
He's in the last
and then
movie.
He mentions he's like, I'm a sheriff from New Orleans or from Louisiana, and I was just like, the last movie took place in Louisiana, and I got really nervous. I was like, oh wait, is he like a weird?
He was
like
the worst part of the last movie for me.
And he's here
back.
Again.
He's back. They brought him back.
Like, is this a situation like you know how like in the previous like Rocky like in the Rocky movies where they were like, yeah, let's bring back that shitty Uncle Polly because, you know.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, this is the Polly of these movies now.
Yeah.
Polly has arrived.
Because, like, does this make, like, Roger Moore laugh? And he's just like, yeah, let's, like, bring that guy back, like, a ton. I don't know. Probably not. But it's just weird that he's in two movies.
It's weird seeing a side character come back, right? Yeah. You always have Moneypenny and M and all and Q come back.
But, like, Quirrell's son shows up, but, like, that's pretty much it, you know? It.
And they're all, like, bit parts. This is, like, a character that is.
Same actor.
Same actor.
Yeah. I hate him.
Bond runs over a boat and cuts it in half because they were like the bad guy's boat that were trying to get him. Cuts it in half.
Right.
This sheriff guy laughs at him. And then he sees that it's James Bond. He starts getting upset. And then a little elephant's like trying to like steal his money or something.
Yeah.
And he says, you fucking, you ugly thing. Yeah. And then the elephant throws him in the water.
Pushes him in
and
the water.
And I was like, I'm glad I stopped at that part. It was a little over my half, but I knew I wanted to watch it because I need to see him get a little bit of comeuppance.
And you did. And this was the introduction to JW for me. And I was like, huh, weird side character.
You didn't have the history.
This is the second time.
When I saw him, this is the second time I had my head in my hands.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was after the three nipples at the beginning.
And for me, I was just like, oh, weird that like an American tourist is in like, you know, like Thailand. But like,
yeah.
I have no reason to believe he's been in any previous movie or that he would be a bigger character.
That's
in this
why I
film.
Loved your reaction when I was explaining the movie in the last episode, because you're like, huh.
this sounds kind of familiar. Yeah. So we are introduced to How Fat, right? That's his name?
High Fat.
High Fat. High Fat.
How Fat's not funny. High Fat is.
High Fat's hysterical. Mm-hmm. High Fat, and he gives a device to Christopher Lee, which we later learn is, oh God, what's it called? The Solex Agitator.
That's the little prototype device.
That's the MacGuffin of the movie.
The MacGuffin that does the super like efficient. Like I guess you could power like a whole plant based on a little tiny.
And so How Fat gives the Solex Agitator to Christopher Lee, and he's like, "Return this device to the plant and wait for my further instructions." And it's so great because Christopher Lee is like sitting at like How Fat's desk, and he takes out his little like golden. What looks like a cigarette holder, and he just starts like taking it apart and putting it together, and it turns into like a gun.
Whoa!
And
it's the whole cigarette holder is a gun.
The entire cigarette holder is a gun, and it's so funny because How Fat, and I guess myself, like he's just like looking at him putting
high
this. Sorry, High Fat is watching him put this gun together, not putting together the fact that like he is in danger. Because it's like you're like, oh yeah, it's just a dude pulling out a cigarette holder, like
he's
doing
probably
some
gonna
shit.
Kill James Bond. Some point
he doesn't even realize it's a gun until it's too late, and then he points the gun at him, shoots him, kills him. So High Fat's dead.
Oh, R.I.P.
And so then another dude comes in and he's like, what happened to Mr. Fat? And Christopher Lee's like, I am the chairman of the board now. He has resigned.
Okay, that's a very weird power grab, but okay.
Yeah, so Mr. Bond goes to a table at a restaurant where Goodnight is staying, and he's just like, hey, I
finally gets her dinner, because she kept being like, you're never gonna give me dinner, you're a sick man, you stood me up many times.
So now they sit down for dinner, and they're offered a wine which is called Foo Yuck, and he goes like, Foo Yuck, that sounds disgusting. And then they pour the wine out, and then he drinks it, and he's just like, I approve. And she's like, of the wine? And he says, no, of your dress.
okay.
Yeah. And he's like, we're waiting for Hip to come with the lead as to, like, I don't really know what it is, but I don't know who Hip is, and I don't know what else is going on. So I guess Hip is off trying to, like, find some information. They're waiting for it. And he's just like, we have a couple hours to wait until the lead comes back. And she says that she's tempted. But she says, I will not sleep with you, Mr. Bond. And it's so funny because they're out to dinner as this is happening. There's like a show happening like across the restaurant. Mm-hmm. She gets up to leave. And as she says that, everyone starts clapping. And it almost feels like the movie's going like, yes, finally someone's turning Bond down for being like a little piggy. So he goes back to his room. And wouldn't you know it, she's there in a nightie.
Nice.
And they bang.
Well, someone's turning her down.
And he says, what made you change your mind? And she says, I'm weak.
Okay.
So they start making out, and then a lady walks in the room. It's Miss Anders.
It's lonely being here for 2 years and knowing no one.
I guess. So Miss Anders actually comes to the room, and she breaks into the room while they're under the blanket. Mm. And he like pulls the blanket up, but keeps her under the blanket. And so Goodnight is still in bed and hears him talking to Anders, Miss Anders, right? Mm-hmm. And Anders is like, she says, I'm scared of Scaramanga. She says, and she says, I'm the one that sent you the bullet with your number on it. And I put the fingerprint on the note, because she's trying to get James Bond to kill Scaramanga because she's afraid of him.
And he's infamous as well. He mentioned earlier in the movie when he was talking to High Fat that like lots of people heard James Bond. He's really cool.
Which is, it's funny. It's like, what kind of secret agent does everybody know the name of?
No one, because they're supposed to be a secret agent.
They're supposed to be secret agents.
He's like licensed to kill all this stuff.
This was one of the other things I read about Roger Moore, where he's just like, he's a terrible secret agent. Everyone knows his name. Like,
yeah.
So he ends up fucking. So imagine this. He is holding a woman down on the bed as he's kissing another woman who's on the bed with him. And so they kiss together. And he's just like
him and Anders, right?
Him and Anders are kissing while Goodnight is on the bed. Uh-huh. And so they kiss and he's like, what about the Solex agitator? This is the first I've heard about a Solex agitator.
What a crazy thing to say. I love watching second halves of these movies where you're like, I think I'm following this plot. And then they
somebody says some random shit
and you're like, MacGuffin?
I'm out of my depth. Yeah. I need to write that down and focus on that, 'cause that's going to be important to the plot somehow. So, he like forces Goodnight in the closet while Anders goes, to the bathroom to freshen up. And he's just like, stay in there until we're all good. And then Anders comes out completely naked. And Goodnight literally waits in the closet for 2 hours while the two of them fuck.
She's a secret agent. She's got to do what she's got to do.
Which is like, God, imagine like Ian Fleming writing this down. He's like, this guy is so fucking hot that he leaves one lady in the bed under the blankets while kissing another lady. And then he puts her in the closet and he fucks some other lady on the bed. It's just like, imagine, like, that is such a male fantasy.
Oh, absolutely.
It's ridiculous. So after two hours, James Bond lets Goodnight out of the closet, and she says, I've been in there for two. She fell asleep.
I was going to say, how do you know it's 2 hours? Because she kept saying,
because she said, she's like, I fell asleep. And James Bond says, don't worry, your turn will come soon.
Oh my God.
And then Anders goes back to Scaramanga's room, and she like puts her, her jewelry in like the lockbox, mm-hmm. and inside of the lockbox in the locker is the agitator, the Solex.
The Solex agitator
is there, and she says, "I'm going to meet you tomorrow at this specific place, and I'll give you the Solex." Okay,
does it just look like solar panels and a little thing?
It's like it honestly kind of looks like a cigarette box. Like it's about as small as that, maybe a little smaller. It kind of looks like a Zune.
Okay.
That's the best way I can describe it. It's a little square box. Little Zune. So, Bond meets up with Anders at a kickboxing fight, and she's sort of like sitting there, eyes open, and he's being watched by Goodnight and what's the name? Pip? Hip? Hip. Hip is watching, and so is Goodnight. As he approaches Anders, he sits next to Anders, and he says, "Oh, where's that thing that you promised me?" And he goes over, and she's dead.
No.
But she's sitting there with her eyes open. So she must have been shot by Scaramanga.
Sure.
With his special golden gun.
She was scared of him for a reason.
Exactly. Scaramanga then sits next to James Bond, and James Bond's like looking through her bag, and he says, "It's not in her bag. I already looked for it." And so he lays out his whole life story about how he went to the circus and how he's best friends with animals. And then he was forced to shoot an animal in the face, and he realized he liked shooting people more than he liked anything else. And now he's a big fan of killing people and all this fucking bullshit. And as he does that, James Bond looks on the ground and sees the Solex, like just sitting on the ground amongst a bunch of peanuts. And so he like goes down and retrieves it without Scaramanga even noticing, because he's too busy talking about his history. And then he asks for like peanuts from people who are walking around with peanuts. And Hip comes over dressed as like a peanut vendor. And he goes down, retrieves like the peanuts on the ground, and puts it in Hip's like little peanut tray.
Sure.
And Hip leaves now with the Solex. So everything's good.
Okay, yeah. Sounds like this plan is working out.
Everything's going great. And nobody notices. Nobody notices. And Scaramanga's even just like, I'm going to look for this Solex. I have no issue with you, Mr. Bond. Yeah. So don't follow me, or else you're going to wind up just like Miss Anders. And this is probably the last time you're ever going to see me. And Bond's like, great. And honestly, everything's going pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, Bond earlier realized that Scaramanga doesn't want to actually kill Bond.
No,
like
he doesn't.
He's just there.
He's just there. And they have no quarrel.
Yeah.
So everything's going to be fine. So the movie ends. Credits roll. It's really great.
They say, man with the golden gun.
Man with the golden gun. No, of course not. So Hip comes out with the Solex, and he gives it to Goodnight. Okay. And he's just like, I got to get back in there. Bond is in trouble. I saw, and I'm not going to say the word, but he says, I saw the little person in there. Mm. He saw Nick Knack in there. Mm-hmm. He recognizes Nick Knack, and he describes Nick Knack to Goodnight. Mm-hmm. And so Goodnight is on the lookout for a little person who is dangerous. And so Hip goes in to like make sure that, Bond is okay. Scaramanga leaves. with Nick Knack in tow.
Mm-hmm. Nick Knack has a French accent too, which really adds a lot, I feel, to him.
Oh, 100%. That was the guy's real accent. He was a Frenchman.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, he was a cool dude. Yeah. He died at 43. He killed himself.
Oh, no, that's not good.
Yeah, it was really sad. Apparently, his internal organs were growing faster than the outside of him, so he was in chronic pain. He had to sleep sitting up because it helped him breathe better. And then one day he went to his good friend's house with a gun and he shot through her window so that she knew what was going on outside. And then he shot himself outside of her house so that she could go out and like discover his body. And he recorded the whole thing on audio. So his last words were recorded.
Damn.
True story.
That's fucking crazy. Well, we learned from Tiptoes that it's pretty bad being a little personal.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great.
So it's a lot of poor guy. Problems with that. It's
poor guy. And then they made a movie about him with Peter Dinklage.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh. My Dinner with Herge, I think is the name of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They released on HBO. I never saw it, but it's probably pretty good. You know, I'm sure it's Peter Dinklage doing a French accent. Yeah. But yeah, a little fun little sidetrack about Nick Knack.
Dinner with Herve, yeah.
Yeah, Dinner with Herve, that's right. So anyway, good night with the Solex. She has the Solex and she recognizes Nick Knack walking out of the kickboxing tournament. So because Goodnight sees him, she goes to like investigate, and Nick Knack gets in a car. So she puts like a tracker in the trunk of the car that Nick Knack is getting into. But Scaramanga sees her, tosses her in the trunk, like pushes her into the trunk. And now Scaramanga has everything.
Yeah.
Has her, yep. Has the Solex, mm-hmm. Everything. She fucked everything up.
Yep.
And so she's got a little like walkie-talkie in the trunk. She's like, Bond, help me. And Bond's just like, ugh, women.
Oh my God.
So he goes to the car that they drove up in and he goes, I don't have the keys. Hip, do you have the keys? And he's like, no, she's got the fucking keys.
Damn.
So he's like, how the fuck are we going to chase her? So he goes to a car dealership and he steals a car off the car dealership. And in the passenger seat is JW Pepper.
Why is he there?
Because he wanted to try out a test car. You know,
is that really? He was just wanting to test out a car. I thought he wasn't. So he didn't actually like have any grunge against.
No, he was just testing out a car. Because
he looked at him and he was like, that guy. And then didn't do anything.
No. So he was just testing out a car. And then he realizes who he is while he's in the car. And he's like, hot dang, you're a special secret agent, ain't you?
Oh, man.
Yeah. So now he's on his dude.
That movie gets worse.
It does. It really does. I just wrote it in. He is an obnoxious American tourist, a sheriff from Louisiana. Oh, wait. ..
Ruh-roh.
So there's a big car chase, and he's just like, hot dang, you gotta step on it, sucker. And he says to him, and he's like, boy, why are you driving so slow? What are you doing here? He's just.
Everything has a commentary. He keeps saying
the most racist shit.
Oh, man. He calls everyone like the worst thing. And I'm just like, why are you here if you're just going to call everyone like an awful thing?
Yeah. Why are you vacationing here if you're going to just be bigoted against everybody?
Yeah. Why would you want to even go there?
Yeah. So he's just being a fucking awful bigot. And then eventually, during the car chase, the car that James Bond is in and that he's in and the car that Goodnight is in are on two like opposite sides of a river, and the closest bridge across the river is like 2 miles away. And so he's like, the sheriff's like, Goodnight, how are you gonna get across that river, boy? You screwed up. And Bond's like, no, I think I know how to do this. And he sees a bridge that's like a downed bridge, but it does look like if he drives fast enough, he might be able to jump over the river. Okay. So he's like backing the car up and he's just like, you ain't going to do that, is ya? And then he's like, oh, it's only one shot. I got to get her. And he drives. He floors it. He drives over. And this is the only shot I've ever seen from the Roger Moore Bond movies. And it's embarrassing. The car drives.
It's the only shot that you find embarrassing?
No, it's the only shot I've ever seen before. And I actually referenced it a couple episodes ago because I thought it was in the last movie.
Oh, yes.
But I was wrong. It's a red car driving and it jumps over.
Oh, yes, I remember it does.
The river, but it spins and they add like a slide whistle sound. So it just goes.
You know, that's because JW's there.
Huh?
It's because JW.
Oh, that's why. Because it's so funny because he's there. It is awful. This is probably the worst, like, this isn't funny. This isn't like entertaining. I just hated it. It's like, it was like something right out of a fucking like Tom and Jerry cartoon or something. I'm like, what is it
but
doing?
In a negative way.
But in a negative way. What's it doing in this fucking like, you know, spy thriller? So they approach where the car's parked, which is in a garage, and the police arrive, the local police arrive, and JW's like, hey, I'm a sheriff from Louisiana. What are you all doing here? Don't worry, I'll take care of this, Mr. Bond. And then they arrest him, and he's just like, police brutality, what are you guys? And he starts just fucking saying shitty racist stuff to them.
No, he probably would.
And then as JW is getting
out
arrested
of the movie now?
Yes, after this, he's out of the movie.
I'm glad he's not in it that long, at least.
Sadly,
you liked it, Mike. You don't admit it.
Sadly, he was in it at all.
Yeah, that's true.
And so they're arresting him, and while that car that Goodnight is in is in like a garage or whatever, snuck away, they're attaching like wings to the car.
Okay.
And then the garage opens and the car goes and just flies. It just flies off. So the car transitions into a plane,
yeah,
a little mini plane, and just flies off.
Yeah.
And JW sees it and he goes like, you all never seen a plane before? And it's just like, shut the fuck up. Luckily, this is the last we see. Goodnight opens the trunk because she thinks that they've stopped. She opens the trunk. She realizes they're flying and she like lowers it. And then they hard cut to M and he's just like, Jesus fucking Christ, you fucked up so bad. I wrote down there in a weird sideways building. I don't know what's going on, but now I know what's going on.
Yeah.
So Goodnight.
Elizabeth.
And Goodnight is somewhere. Sorry, go ahead.
Just like Queen Elizabeth on her side.
On her side, feeding those corgis.
Feeding those corgis.
So
Her Majesty's Secret Service that
on
she
Her
provides.
Majesty's Secret Service on Her Majesty's Secret breast milk.
Oh, no.
So they say that Goodnight is somewhere in China. They've the plane landed somewhere in Red China, so they're gonna have to find her somewhere. So Bond's like, I'm going to fly there. I'm gonna fly really low to avoid all radar, but he's still spotted by, you know, a bunch of henchmen. So Scaramanga knows to expect him. And so Bond lands because I think she has a tracker or something. Sure. Goodnight has a tracker on her.
Okay.
So he lands where the tracker says that she is. He lands on the beach. And then Nick Nack comes out with a tray that has like some champagne on it. And he's just like, champagne? Would you like some champagne?
Tabasco sauce on it.
It's just
you want to drink a shot of this, Mr. Bond?
So he's got some champagne. And then we see like a golden gun pointed towards, or no, it's not a golden gun. It's another gun. It's just a random gun pointed towards the two of them. And then it fires and it shoots off the cork on the champagne bottle and it just covers Nick Nack in bubbly. And I'm like, what a shitty thing to do to your
rude.
Yeah, very rude. And then Scaramanga comes out and he's just laughing. He's just like, ha ha ha. I just wanted to show that I could have killed you, but I didn't. And I've got a really good aim. And then he puts the gun down on the plate or on the dish that has the champagne on it. And then he pulls out the golden gun, but it's shaped like the cigarette holder.
Mm.
And he says, don't worry now, Mr. Bond. I'm unarmed now, as he's like holding the cigarette holder that transforms into a gun. And he says,
the
would you like,
knows.
We know. And I think, and this is, I think what I like about Scaramanga and Christopher Lee. He's getting off on this.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
totally getting off on the fact that like he has a weapon in his hands and he can tell somebody that he's unarmed.
It makes sense though, because at the beginning of the movie, he's trying to find someone that could like kill him. You know,
exactly.
He's trying to look for a challenge and like
finally Bond's here and he's going to give him a challenge. And so Scaramanga is like, I'm going to show off my island. So he shows him that he has that solar energy. He has clean energy on his island.
Oh, okay.
And he's going to sell it to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
Because he owns it. And I'm just like, cool.
Nice.
That's good. You should do that.
But I guess the technology should be for everyone, right? Is that what the bad thing is?
I don't know. Honestly, that's not, because he's like, honestly, whoever's going to pay me, I'll give it to them.
You know what? It sucks that we live in a world where I'm just like, yeah, that's how it works, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You develop a cool technology. You don't even think about giving it for the masses. You're just
I'm going to sell it to whoever can own it. Though he does say he's not going to sell it to like oil barons.
See, this guy's already pretty good. He's
honestly
already too good of a person for this actual world.
Exactly. He's not really a villain if he's not going to give it to oil barons to like
kill. I'm like,
kill.
Oh, his code? Oh, it's even
Bond brings that up. He's like, are you just going to like sell it to people who like earn oil? And he's just like, I've considered it, but no, I'm not going to do that.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. So he shows off the solar energy. He shows off that he has a machine and he shows off where he's put the Solex, like where that is. He shows that if he presses a button, it'll open up like a slide in the side of the mountain that he lives in. And there's a giant solar panel that will shine the sun into the machine and just sends like a hot beam of radiated light into it that will create solar energy, basically.
This is such a weird plot point because it's just like...
This is the final plot point.
I know, but it's just like so much of it's like the world's going to blow up. We're going to create like a nuclear war. And this is just like...
I have solar energy.
And I'm going to sell it to the highest bidder.
I'm going to give it to the world.
Okay.
Yeah, right? Like, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty good thing, especially that you're considering not giving it to the people that will kill it.
I guess it's just the worst thing is he killed the guy and stole the thing from it.
That's pretty much the worst thing.
And, like, that's bad, sure, but, like, I feel like people do that shit all the time around in real life. So I'm like, eh, it's not, like, that bad.
Yeah.
The assassination stuff's kind of bad, but,
But, I mean, you use that money to accumulate, like, you know, like clean energy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
That's weird. So then
he's
like,
not posting on X a bunch of times.
He's not posting on X, which is also pretty great.
Yeah.
And then he's like, let me show you what else I can do with this energy. And he points a laser gun at the plane that James Bond brought in and just blows it up.
Okay. Now that's the part that's kind of bad.
What? So it's a plane. Nobody's
well, I know,
in
but
it.
he's showing he's got a threatening power. Like no one can take this over because I have like,
well, someone
weapon.
Will take it over whenever they pay the highest amount for it.
I guess that's the problem is it's not just like, ooh, you get clean energy. It's like, you also get a weapon that can like, blow up planes and
yeah.
stuff. So it's kind of bad, I guess. But yeah.
So then he's like, oh, lunch is ready. You know, Nick Neck has prepared lunch. So Scaramanga and Bond and also, oh gosh, what's her name?
Goodnight
is there in a bikini. Mm. Scaramanga's like, the two of us, you and I, Mr. Bond, we're very alike. The only difference is that you don't admit that you enjoy killing as much as I admit that I enjoy killing. Mm. And Bond is very upset about this. And he's just like, hey, I do it because my government tells me to do it. I don't do it because I enjoy it. And Scaramanga's like, I don't believe you, Mr. Bond. In fact, I think you really enjoy killing and I think you're good at it.
Mm.
And so he says, here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you, mano a mano, your Walter PPK, yeah. against my golden gun.
It's true. And I remember earlier, Cesar, I believe is his name.
Lazar?
Lazar. He was like, oh, you're Walter PPK? I don't touch that shit. Shit's lame.
Yeah. So he's like, I want to challenge you to a duel, one-on-one.
Old West style?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was going to, honestly, what I thought he was going to do is be like, if I can kill Goodnight and you can kill Nick Nack, we'll see who wins. The best assassin wins.
That's pretty great. No, they're going to duel 20 paces.
That seems
just like Hamilton.
Seems more ethical.
Yeah. So they go to the beach and they're like, all right, 20 paces. Nick Knack's like, I'm going to get to 20. And then once you reach 20, you turn around, you kill the other person. We'll see what happens. And he's like, even Bond's like, I have 6 bullets in this gun. Like, you only have the one. If I miss your one bullet, I'll be able to shoot you with the rest.
It is only one bullet? That's cool.
Yeah, he's like, I can put one bullet in my... But he's like, that's all I need, Mr. Bond.
Damn, just like in GoldenEye. You get
just
that,
like in
you
GoldenEye.
You just got that golden gun.
That's what it is.
And you get that one bullet.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So he's like, so it's like, you know, 20 paces. They count to 20. Bond turns around at 20. Scaramanga's gone.
Oh, shit.
He's not even there
on
the beach.
That's scary.
And he's wasted one bullet. So now he's gone from 6 to 5.
Oh, shit.
So Nick Knack shows up and he's just like, if you kill him, all this is mine. So he says, Mr. Bond, please follow me. So he's like, Bond's like, you know, he's like, I've never killed one of you before. This is the thing I said before. And he says, don't be cute, Mr. Bond. So he shows him the little doorway and he goes, do that way. I think Scaramanga's that way. So he goes in and it's exactly the same as the beginning of the movie.
The goofy fun house. I was like, there's no way they just use this for the beginning of the movie and never use it again.
I am so glad you saw it at the beginning because I truly didn't know how I was going to describe it. I just said, Bond walks into a haunted house nightmare room.
Yeah, that's
colors,
accurate.
Spirals, effects, animatronics, mirrors. And he shoots at another person. So now he only has 3 bullets left.
Yeah.
And Nick Nack's over the radio and he goes, ha, only 3 more bullets. He's like, he's laughing at him over the intercom. And then Bond ends up crawling under a platform and he accidentally drops his gun, but he finds the wax figure that looks just like him.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So, and Scaramanga's like walking around too, trying to find James Bond.
I just don't know why Scaramanga already has this
wax figure.
If he has no intention of killing him.
maybe it's other people who know of him, and like he's a known killer, right?
I guess that's true. Yeah, he knows of
Al Capone.
Al Capone knows him. Yep, and random cowboy man.
Yes, I'm so glad you saw the opening because I was truly like, it feels like a Disneyland ride.
It is. It feels like a Disneyland ride with the animatronics
and weird perspective stuff. So Scaramanga's like walking around, and he's like looking for James Bond, and then all of a sudden the James Bond wax figure goes and aims and shoots Scaramanga, and it was actually James Bond.
Oh shit.
And Scaramanga didn't suspect it, and Scaramanga is dead.
Oh no, that was quick.
Yeah. So James Bond and Goodnight get together, but they only have 5 minutes left until the entire island blows up, because I didn't mention this, but Goodnight dispatched a henchman, threw him into where a bunch of the liquid nitrogen things for the solar power was, mm-hmm. and if that thing raises above 0 degrees, then everything explodes, and because there's a human body in there, now it's going to do that. So they have 5 minutes until it explodes. So James Bond needs to go retrieve the Solex from the thing I mentioned earlier. That's like where that beam goes, remember? Mm-hmm. So he like has to climb in, and as he's going in there to retrieve the Solex, Goodnight accidentally presses a button with her butt, and it causes even more trouble for James, because then a light goes down there and almost like kills him. He does end up getting the Solex out of there, no thanks to Goodnight. They escape before it blows up, and they get in the boat, the ship from earlier, and they're sailing away, and everything's fine.
The cool ship, yeah, the sails and everything,
and they're sailing away. And they're about to bang, and then all of a sudden, Nick Knack stowed away on the ship, and he's above them with a little knife.
They did this fucking shit again, but they're like,
every single time they do this,
the main henchman comes and is like, "I'm gonna get you."
But this is not threatening.
But also, doesn't make any sense, because if he kills
Scaramanga,
wouldn't Nick Knack get everything?
So but everything care. Is blown up.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, so there's nothing for Nick Knack to own anymore. So Nick Knack jumps down.
I might even collect the insurance money or something.
Maybe.
There's probably no insurance on that.
So Nick Knack jumps down out of the roof, and this scene is so fucking silly. Just seeing like James Bond have to like try to kill a little person. Like, it feels a little bit like a Chucky movie.
Uh-huh.
You know? So he's trying to kill him. And then eventually James Bond just shoves Nick Knack into a giant trunk. Like a giant, like,
okay.
Yeah, and then attaches him to the crow's nest. And then they're about to bang. Goodnight and James are about to bang on the bed in there. But then M calls in on the phone inside of the ship. And he's like, James, yes, it seems like everything's fine. Is Goodnight there? And he goes, yes, sir, she's about to come. And then he puts the phone down and he just starts fucking her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then he's like, James! And then he says... He pulls up the phone to his mouth, and he says, "Good night, sir." And then he hangs with the phone, and then the movie ends. We see Nick Knack on the crow's nest, wide shot of the sea and the ocean. That's the end of the movie.
He's dead on the crow's nest?
No, he's still alive.
He's just hanging out.
But I think he's going to die to the elements, because he's going to be up there for like 8 hours.
It's kind of weird. This movie's kind of ending the same way.
Exactly the same. They've really fallen into a pattern here. You know?
Okay. Did you know that stunt, the spinning one, was apparently first tested as a computer simulation?
What spinning one?
The one with the car, the one that you said was super silly and you knew about.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
It was originally a CG car?
But then it was, well, they tested it out first because they actually had to perform it, and they did a live stunt in one take.
Whoa. And it looked fine. And they're like, you know what we need to do? Add a whistle.
That's the
to
thing
this.
Is they added John Barry, the composer, added a slide whistle effect over the stunt, which Broccoli kept in despite thinking that it undercooed the stunt.
Undercut the stunt?
It says undercooped here.
Oh.
Okay. Barry later regretted this decision, thinking the slide whistle broke the golden rule, as the stunt was, for what it was worth, a truly dangerous moment, true Bond style, because apparently this corkscrew stunt made the Guinness Book of World Records as the first astral spiral jump on film.
Yeah, it really did undercut the stunt. Yeah. And yeah, this definitely broke the man with the golden rule.
Yeah, the man with the golden rule?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it really did. It weakened that entire stunt. And it sucks because, like, yeah, I'm like, I'm watching it. I'm like, wow, this is genuinely impressive that they did this in one take and in one shot. And, you know, I'm sure there were stuntmen in the car, but it looks fucking lame.
Yeah, every single person, there's so many. Quotes here basically being like, this sucks, why'd you put it in there?
Yeah, I'm right,
regretting it. Apparently Top Gear tried to replicate the stunt and could not do it.
Well, I hope they all died. Jeremy Clarkson, you'd suck my fucking cock.
Oh my God.
Fucking hate you. Yeah. I hope you all die in a horrible car
that's
accident.
Fair. That's fair. Sure enough. This is a Just Nate one. We're like, oh, they're all right.
Yeah, that was back when everyone, yeah. And then Jeremy Clarkson's like, I don't think global warming's real. And I'm like, oh, go fuck yourself. Anyway, how'd you like the movie, Ethan?
Besides our southern gentleman.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I was having a great time.
Yeah.
I honestly was like, I was like, this plot is interesting. I'm
straightforward.
It. It's straightforward enough for me to follow. It's not super convoluted.
Yeah.
I think all the kind of like goofy puns he was having was fun. It was cheesy, but in like a way that I enjoyed. And then fucking Southern Man came up and there was like, no, man.
Yeah.
What are
so
we doing here?
What are you going to rate it then based on that?
It's three balls.
I give it three as well.
I give it three.
I think this was a lot of fun. I got more Southern Man than you did, but you know, the fact that he got like arrested felt pretty cool.
Yeah. He always gets his comeuppance, which is funny.
But it is more like, why is he even fucking here?
Why even have this guy?
Yeah.
But like, I would have given this four if it wasn't
for
that.
Him. Could you give it 3.5, maybe?
No, I'm putting it all the way down because it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it sucks that he's there.
It was pretty bad. Like, he was just like, that and his racism. Like, we're like,
not
brought,
a fan of his racism.
Brought the whole movie down. I'm like, where is the Roger Moore film for me?
Maybe it'll come later.
Maybe it'll come later.
Which is, I think, now the question
exactly
begs.
What you'd say to Goodnight. Come later.
So it begs the question, are we continuing this?
I got to find the right
Let's Roger watch Moore. At least two more.
Uh-huh.
More M-O-O-R-E.
Uh-huh.
See how it goes.
Cause yeah, there. That's the thing is, as we get worse, I'm enjoying them more, which is weird to say.
I gotta agree with that. Maybe the less seriously they take themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like throwing ideas out there. None of them. Not all of them are working.
No.
I wouldn't say none. Some of them work.
The gadgets and the effects are getting a little bit weak. IMHO.
Really?
Yeah.
Even that corkscrew. For sure.
That was great, but like, I don't know. There really wasn't anything else in this
movie.
They
really love boats. I feel like the one I'm worried about is because this did feel pretty similar to the last movie.
Yes. They're going to start falling into a pattern.
I'm going to follow like a formula after a little bit, and I'm like, that's going to get kind of bad and pretty annoying. And that's what killed us off the Resident Evil movies.
Yes, is that all of them started feeling the same.
Yeah, and so if that starts happening, I don't know how much longer it can last if they start becoming all the same, because like, I'm loving what's here. They got to change it up a little bit.
I know that Roger Moore's got a long run, too. So there's going to be a lot of Roger Moore movies that we're going to have to sit through. So if we start not enjoying him as Bond, that's going to also be another...
It's going to be a rough one. He's
bit of difficulty.
70s here.
Yeah, exactly.
This is, 74 this movie came out,
I think so. Yeah, guys, what are your thoughts on these Bond movies? Are we reading them properly? Email us. Email theohirapodcast.com. You're going to find us on Facebook or on Instagram. We are on Blue Sky, and we're also on Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous Bond movies, find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it in the show no matter what it says, even if... It is, even if you're some awful Southern, like, sheriff, we'll read it.
We'll read your
shitty thing. We'll probably censor it if you say anything too explicit.
Too problematic.
Yeah.
I did like that he kind of had, like, an antagonist that went toe-to-toe with him and felt like he was on the same level as Bond. I quite like that. Instead of just, like, a weird guy who's like, I want global politics. It's like, this guy just wants to have some... killing sport.
Yeah, he's just honestly, I loved Christopher Lee. Christopher Lee fucking rocked.
Yeah, he was great in this. He was probably my favorite part. He was the part that almost made it a 3.5. But
yeah, I really loved his entire performance.
He was barely in my half, though.
That is a real shame.
But yeah, I enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed it. I'm curious to see what happens next, but I also can see it
falling apart or becoming too samey.
Yeah,
I think that's the real concern.
Becoming too saney. Like, look how crazy. Sorry, I'm showing Mike the Queen Elizabeth. Like,
whoa,
look how crazy
that is
just,
really cool.
It's just in the ocean, just capsized, just sitting
that
there.
That is a cool place to, like, set, like, a military base, too.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. That feels like cool spy shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, cool underground stuff. But it's just a weird juxtaposition with, like... And now we're going to go get this guy who wants to sell electricity to
that was
the
other
bidder.
Funny thing. It's like, I don't want anyone to have clean energy. Like, He stole the Solex, but I'm like, what is he going to do with it? Is he going to give it to somebody who can possibly like allow like clean energy to exist?
Like,
I don't really know what the plan
is. Or
is
he just going to power it to like one rich person? And that's
yeah,
it, or, like,
I don't know.
Nation. I don't know.
Is he going to give it to some like company? I don't know what the plan
doesn't
is.
Matter. He's fucking
doesn't
dead
matter.
Now.
He's a gun for hire, and that's all that matters. Yeah,
you know, like I gotta say, like one of the most okay Bond girls ever. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.